I'd like to start this morning reading Jerry Weber this scripture. And I usually read it at the end, and I may do that again, but I wanted to start with it today because it says some wonderful things. Most of my life, I live as if there is no God but myself. How utterly foolish am I? My actions and my words and my thoughts are self-referenced, and everything and everyone filtered through the prism of self. And then, Lord, you see that foolishness. You look to me, to others, searching the planet for those whose hearts are turned towards you. Who would radically turn from their own egos to filter all of life through you? I'm not the only fool. It seems as if we all follow our own cravings, each of us falsely and foolishly gathering life around ourselves, each of us bowing at our own altar. Are we all mad? Can any of us see the truth? Don't we see how we eat up those who get in our way? The clash of egos erupts in violence and hatred, in mistrust and anger, in fear and insecurity. We only invite your presence to further our own agenda. I should know better. These words speak what I imagine many of you think to yourself often. How could I let God down? But I do it every day. There were a few words that you just did not say in our household growing up. Now, there are those that most of you can guess, but there were two that were forbidden. The first was hate. We were never. That was a punishable word. We could strongly dislike something, or we could strongly dislike someone's ways, but we couldn't hate. Just wasn't allowed by my mother. And the other thing that we couldn't do was to call someone a fool. Mom was usually okay with celebrating April Fool's Day because my father loved to play April Fool's pranks. But calling someone a fool, there was a strong possibility that your mouth would be washed out with soap. And she would do it too. So therefore, I have a really strong feeling about that word, fool. I believe in part my mother forbid that word because of this passage. Fools say in their heart, there is no God. So to my mom, calling someone a fool was claiming that that person did not have God in their heart. And that was something that I couldn't claim about another. And it also showed a loss of hope for another person. So the word fool was forbidden in any way, shape, or form. And I think it's important to realize that we're not talking about atheists or agnostics. Lots of people look at this scripture and think of those terms. Those weren't terms used in the writings in the time of the Psalms. Those are terms that we've come up with. And I'm not even sure that this scripture refers specifically to non-believers as we think of them today. A fool is simply someone who acts independently of established authority. In the case of our scripture today, the authority is God, and the fool is simply someone who acts independently of God. I think for most of us in here, okay, all of us, if we're honest, we at times play the role of the fool. We act independently of God, of how we know God would have us live. The words that Jerry Weber used described it very clearly. We act self-centered. I think perhaps this scripture refers to those times when we allow ourselves to go along with the status quo. Maybe we come to church and we sit and we nod our heads and we bow our heads and we sit here and we're really making our grocery list or thinking about the big game this afternoon because our heart's just not here. Or maybe we come and we believe everything we hear and we sit in Sunday school classes and we answer the questions, but when it comes down to it, we go home and we live our lives not allowing ourselves to really, truly believe all those things and put them into practice in our life. Or maybe we believe, we really do, and we just forget to let God be in the driver's seat. We ask God to just ride along in the passenger seat. I've got this, God. There used to be a bumper sticker you would see on cars all the time that would say, God is my co-pilot. Well, you know what? God doesn't want to be our co-pilot. God wants to be in the driver's seat. We live in a world where we very much understand the us and the them mentality. We see it in every aspect of our lives, in everything we do. There is the us and the them. And it never feels good to have someone treat us like the thems. But you know what? We always consider ourselves the us's, right? The us and the them. I mean, think about it. Have you ever said to yourself, I know that I'm wrong, but I'm still going to do it my way? So I'm going to be the them, and I'm going to let them be the us's. We don't, do we? We think our way is the right way. We assume we're the one in the right, and when someone thinks or acts in a way that we don't like or we don't appreciate, we decide that they are on the outside. And we're going to be against them. God doesn't have us and them. I think that's why this psalm can make us feel a little bit like we're the S's. We declare that God is our Savior. That God is our creator, that God is our redeemer. And people who don't stand and proclaim God like I do are fools. They're the thems. But when you really look at it as people, not who don't proclaim God, but as people who in their hearts don't allow God to be the authority in charge of their lives, then we all become the thems. How often do we talk the talk and not walk the walk? I think I've mentioned this before, but as a young person in the church, I had my ideas of what you needed to look like and act like to be a good Christian. There were a couple of people in our group that I saw as super Christians. And I compared myself to them, and I watched them. And so one service, we were all at a crusade. It was called the Starlight Crusade, and there were thousands of people there. And my friend walked down to the front. And I thought, man, if she's not right with God, then what does that say about me? I mean, I always felt like I did things pretty well. I was a good student, and I didn't party, and I went to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. I obeyed my parents. I didn't dance. That was part of obeying my parents. I read my Bible. I studied my Sunday school lesson. I mean, I could check off every one of those boxes on the bottom of my Sunday school envelope. But man, she had to walk the aisle. What does that mean about me? If living a life in tune with God, not being a fool, means living a life dependent on God, it also means living a life that doesn't look at the world and determine our self-worth or our worth to God by comparing it to others or the world. I guarantee that if you put your faith in people of the world or compare your faith to other people, even other Christians, you will 100% of the time be disappointed. It's going to happen because we all have one thing in common. We are not perfect. We have all fallen short. We make mistakes. Every day we wake up with a new day, and for most of us, we go into the day hoping to do the best that we can possibly do, but every day we fall short because we don't depend on God. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. That doesn't mean that God turns from us or rejects us. It does, however, mean that we've acted foolishly. We've allowed ourselves to act independently of God. The scripture also says that those in need, that God provides refuge. That's a wonderful word, refuge. It means a condition of being safe or sheltered. In those times when we've stepped away from God's direction, when we've wandered away from the trail and can't seem to find our way back, we don't have to worry because God is our refuge. God is our comfort, our shelter. God always welcomes us back into the safe place. Like the sheep that the shepherd went looking for, like the coin that the woman searched for. We are of such amazing value to God that we're welcome back always into the safety of God's arms and love. I'd like to read Weber's prayer once again. Most of my life, I live as if there is no God but myself. How utterly foolish am I? My actions and my words and my thoughts are self-referenced. And then, Lord, you see that foolishness. You look to me, to others, searching the planet for those whose hearts are turned toward you, who would radically turn from their own egos to filter all of life through you. I'm not the only fool. It seems as if we are all follow our own cravings, each of us falsely and foolishly gathering life around ourselves, each of us bowing at our own altar. Are we all mad? Can any of us see the truth? Don't we see how we eat up those who get in our way? The clash of egos erupts in violence and hatred, in mistrust and anger, in fear and insecurity. We only invite your presence to further our own agenda. I should know better. May we, if children of God, know better. May we seek God's presence in our lives. May we seek dependency on God so that we don't erupt into anger and violence and mistrust, but instead we are united in God's love and grace. Amen and amen.